closer than breath. You are the air, sweeter than life itself. You are here. I am a wanderer. You are my peace. I am a prisoner. You are release. Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, Jai Gurudev.
I think I'm finally starting to see with a bit more clarity how the Sangha can help me. I always felt welcome at Dharma Mountain. It's such a warm and loving place, and I'm happy when I'm here in the Buddha field. Until last week, the meditation mostly felt mechanical for me. And although I wanted to feel something deep to come up, I was mostly going through the motions. But last week, during a breath session, the floodgates opened and the deep tears finally came out. It was such a release that I felt physically exhausted and real good for the first time that I can remember. I think I felt my heart truly open. And I know now that I want more. For the most of my life, I had a dark spot on my heart. I could feel its presence from time to time, and I want more than anything to get rid of it forever. So, Swaha, if there is room for me here in the Sangha field and you feel it, please grant me sannyas. With love and an open heart, Len. Very good, Len. I was wondering how long time we would take. What can I do, no? I just go on putting a little fire on the cooking. And then one day, the hard shell is start falling apart, no? And now is that day. That is a great day of celebration. You say, I think I'm finally starting to see with a bit more clarity how the Sangha can help me. Yes. But to see that, you have to become a part of it. Because from the outside you cannot see. That's the difference. And many people, even people who have been with me a long time, they are still like on the outside. You have to jump into it. And that's what happened with you. And only then can you see. If people are always doing their own thing, they don't really melt into something bigger. Because life is such that you always have your own idea, your own dreams, your own expeditions, your own work, your own desires. You're trying always to plan. But it's always you first on the list. If you have something higher, then that higher becomes the first on the list, which is what is happening when you reconnect with yourself. Then everything falls into place. You have something in life that you are totally forgotten about, and that we try to fill with all these things. With a new car, new house, new wife, new husband. All these things, no? More money, more houses, whatever it is. New dress, anything. But it doesn't last. And when you come back to yourself, then all that falls away. It doesn't matter anymore because you have found something very precious. That is the sign. And it's not something you can do. That's why sometimes I joke with this yogi syndrome. They're trying. But if the understanding and the experience is not there, it can't happen because it's an ego that is trying. When you see, when you get a glimpse again, then everything is clear. Now you're starting with this, more clarity. I always felt very welcome in Dharma Mountain, and I'm happy when I'm in the Buddha field. It was such a release that I felt physically exhausted and real good. This kind of exhaustion and tiredness is very, very good because it goes much deeper. You can climb up and down the mountain and you feel very exhausted also, but this is different because it goes deeper. It is in your emotional body instead of the physical body. So it's much deeper and it cleans you much more. That is the work I like to do with you, instead of going from the outside in, which is what normally people are doing in the world. They're trying to go slowly, slowly in, starting outside, click, 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 on that heart. That is the therapy. So many layers you have to go through. I'm not interested in the layers, I'm interested in the core. So when you connect with the core, then all this melts by itself. That is the mystery. That is the impossible. Because you have touched something in the very core. It's a shortcut. And you cannot do anything, it happens. And that's what happened for you, Len. You have been sneaking around for many years now. And it must be something, you liked it. You felt home, it was beautiful. But when this happened, then it really falls into place. What is all about? Because it's no, it's your own experience. For the first time that I can remember, I think I felt my heart truly open. I know now that I want more. That's the sign. Because now you're listening, you're feeling your heart. And the heart knows. It wants to grow. It wants to explore. When people are just in the mind, you don't think like that. You're always on guard. Always playing, yeah, maybe a little bit. But this is the words from the heart. I know now that I want more. There is no conflict. You know. When you come from your head, then you think. You don't know. And the mind can even, you can easily fall back again. Like many of you have done so many times. You fall back. Again, you become cold. You forget. And if you are not staying in touch with it, then again you can fall into that normal, ordinary life where your mind, your own personal life takes over. This truth is impersonal. It's much bigger than you. So when you connect with it, you connect with the whole. And that gives you freedom. Then whatever you do in your life comes second. It doesn't matter what you do. That is freedom. You are not bound by any ideas. The whole world becomes a playground. Before it was a very serious thing. You know about that, Len? Huh? Have you been serious? And how is it now?
Much lighter.
Much lighter, no? For most of my life, I had a dark spot in my heart, on my heart. I could feel his presence from time to time, and I want more than anything to get rid of it forever. Why not? Say, hasta la vista. Okay? And feel it, that it goes. Because you don't need that anymore. It belongs to the past. This is the new. If you accept that, you can be finished with it. Start living now with a clean heart, with a baby heart. Because that baby heart has to start functioning in a totally new way. That is the challenge. You have to then listen to your own heart, to your own intuition. And if you don't do that, then again you get dark spots in your heart, shadows on your heart. So the truth, it demands responsibility over your own heart, over your own truth, over your own insight. So Swaha, if there is room for me here in the Sangha field and you feel it, please, please grant me sannyas. Okay. It looks like you already have a place. And maybe you are some of the last, because now it starts getting full here now. I'm very happy. I was wondering, Len, when is this land is going? When he's going to melt? No, no, he happened. No. Huh? a nice man you are. You have the time now. It will open up a totally new life for you. And I like it that you've just been sitting there. Some people, they want sannyas straight away. They have no idea what sannyas is. So it's good to take it when you feel it. Your heart feel it, your being feel it. That's how it should be. No, it's not from your mind, it's from your own experience. Otherwise, many people, they think, what is sannyas? It does nothing for you if you come from your mind. You have to change. No, you have found the right thread now. With love and an open heart, Len. Very good. Welcome, Len. No, you know how the world functions from the past. No, get to know how your heart, how peace is, how truth is, how harmony is. That's a good change.
The fishes are confused.
Fishes are not confused, they are happy. Have to keep an eye on everybody, even Kirtan.
I used to like to read the poems of Rumi, but I did not have a clue what he meant when he said, beloved friend, until I met you. Now I know why the Sufis world, it's awfully hard to rest with all this love and fire inside my chest. Understood that Last Supper, I did not know what to think when Jesus said, my body is this bread and my blood this drink. Had he merged with all of creation or found some fountain of youth? Now I see what I thought was alchemy is just the literal truth. And you don't need to be a Christian mystic or be born under a lucky star. You only need to be still and ask who you are. Be still and know who. You don't need to read loud soon. Just look around, look around. This is the sound. Do you hear it too? One hand clapping, one heart singing, one being being me and you. Only one through, and you don't need to be a mystery. You only need to be willing to stop and see. See what is still and free. Study scripture or travel far. You only need to be still and ask who you are. Be willing to know who you are.
It's very nice to see for new people when you have this breakthrough, because it becomes like day and night, no? Black and white. Because it's something totally new that is open up, like you say. For the first time in my life, you feel, no? It's a new burden. But many people, they forget again, you know? So you have to take care of it. That's how the mind is. You have to be very aware to not get lost in it again. Yes, Mohan? You are back now. You didn't want to figure it out for yourself? Start new today. Every moment you should start new, not carrying the past with you. And then you are open for the mystery always. No, Kundan is visiting also now. How, you were so slow, did you row from there? From the You've been rowing, no? Why, you are just slow by nature or what? I know you went through many things, had problems with people, you got hurt and all that, but let it belong to the past, no? You should focus on good people, no? Focus on the Sangha. And it's very difficult alone. You should take the help, like Len said. Then it's easy, because you remember something deeper, something eternal, instead of getting caught up in all these little things. So remember now. Don't get lost in doing all these things. Life goes, no? It's so many things. See what is really important for you. Like Alcis Karin said, no, start living now, no? Start living now. Let go of the past. Then you will see you have so much energy available for yourself and coming back and living and having fun again. I was a little worried about you, Kundan. You should also come to Brazil now and do the whole retreat. Go for it. I'm going to clean your good out. You cannot just come here, sell a house there and do a session there and like that. No, no, no. Life is something more. You know what I'm talking about. I have a poem for you, and for many others also. But since we were doing this now, just a reminder, if you get caught up, then you can listen to this poem again. I had been asking God for a sign to help me with the big business decision. I was walking by the river, contemplating my profit of the business, and a flock of geese were coming in for a landing, and they all passed right over my head and relieved themselves. I became so covered and soaked with birdshit that I decided and I understood never invest in anything speculative for your own profit. That is what these Rumis have understood. Stay away from it. It's something available already. Be with the alive ones, don't go with the dead, no? For that you have to be ready to leave everything again and again. When you have your heart, then it's easy. This is maybe how Rumi also understood things, no? By the geese. Thanks to the geese that shat on him. Beloved Swaha, I'm moving from Florianopolis to some place quieter, a little more in the south, closer to Ibirakera, but I do not know where. Isn't it great and amazing? It is. Some classical things that are written in the spiritual books are becoming a direct experience. Others, not yet. Isn't it great and amazing? It is. Mind is a lot quieter in daily living. Sometimes it disappears totally and merges in its original place. Isn't it great and amazing? It is. Heat energy, the feeling of bubbles rising up, cool and soft energy, are some of the perfumes that also can take place. Isn't it great and amazing? It is. When Yogi Kamal, when you write this, I'm remembered the especially Tibetans, they have this kind of way of writing when they write about the experiences. Or many times they write them as songs. then they can say this, isn't it great and amazing? Isn't it marvelous? How come? It is. Where closer to Ibirakera? You have any idea? Oh, you have changed.
Yeah.
Ah, so you can even be a little on that side.
Yeah.
On the Imbituba side.
Yeah.
So then it's very good.
Mm-hmm.
And more cheap land also.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
I might know something even. You have to function on all different levels, you know, come up. You are pretty good in that. You have your job, no? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it great and amazing, Yogi Kamal? You can work, no? That's what the great sages always have said. You have to just live, do your duties in this life, but don't get identified, no? Be untouched. That is the sign of a true sage. A true yogi. You do whatever is needed, but you are untouched because you are all the time rooted in yourself. Then it doesn't matter. But there is one thing in this amazement. The witness sometimes seems to have an interest in the outcome of what is happening and some new realization going on. And that means that the witness is not entirely pure. The witness is always pure. But maybe the mind can trick one sometimes, that the mind becomes the witness, because the mind is very tricky. When the witness is there, then you just witness them. The witness has no interest in any outcome, because it's already fulfilled in itself. So, any desire for any outcome, it must be somebody. And who is this somebody? Who is that somebody who wants an outcome? Outcome is in the future. No, who is it that wants an outcome of something? Who is that? Yes. And the witness, does he want any outcome? This is how it mixes, no? Of course, because we come from only being identified with the mind. Then the journey comes to reclaim the self, consciousness. So on this journey, what they call in the old scriptures, from darkness to light, from illusions to reality. Then many times the mind comes and does its tricks, even in the spiritual things, no? But the witness is, there's nothing there because it's impersonal. There can never be any outcome because it is itself. It's always itself. is always here, is always now, then what is it for any outcome? Outcome is mind, future. God is here now. God will not be more God tomorrow. So be settled in that. Can you give some guidance about getting away from any kind of interest from the witness? And also to be liberated from the mind once and for all. Any suggestions? Can you give some guidance about getting away from any kind of interest from the witness? And also be liberated from the mind once and for all. Any suggestions? Yes. Come here. So, any problem now?
No.
No. And the mind?
No mind.
No mind. Then, anything to look for? Anything to do?
No.
Only here? Then mind gone? What is left then? Ego gone, your mind gone, and not identified with your thoughts, no? Forget the witness too.
Okay.
Forget everything. Just words, no? Just names. All names, all forms, all thoughts, gone. Just here. Then, how is it done? Here and now.
Alive?
Alive, yes. And what is really alive? What is really alive beyond the body?
No name, the beyond.
So. Yeah, no name, don't touch any name. Don't think. Yeah? It's so easy that you miss it again and again, no? Then the mind comes. Then you want to do things. Then you're wondering about some outcome. This is all now, what now?
Yes.
This is complete in itself, no?
Like, one thing to forget all. Energy and stuff, it doesn't...
No,
just
your
ego.
Yeah, just ego, all the ego bubbles and all, just false. Yeah. Just enjoy it, whatever. But there's no person there to enjoy. It's just happening. Everything is just happening. The witness just witness whatever is happening. It's not identified, it's not attached to anything. That is the art of being free. It's nothing special. It's easy. It's so easy that everybody misses it. That's how easy it is. Because it's only here, now, in this moment. Don't go anywhere. No past, no future. Now. Then. Only that is. That is the whole thing. The mind always will take you somewhere. Don't get involved. That's my suggestion.
Thank you so much.
It's okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Isn't it great and amazing? My God. This is great and amazing.
Thank you.
And very good, you come all that you are moving. That is good. New start. Truth is always very simple, but the mind cannot catch it. That's why the mind is going crazy. Then the mind itself, the ego itself, it wants to be spiritual. It has ideas, and then it's this, and then there are different levels, and da-da-da-da-da. Some say 3 levels, 5 levels, 7 levels, 12 levels. All mind. Mind bubbles. Everything happens, don't get identified with it. Your heart open, great. Kundalini rises, great. Light happening, great. silence happening, great. Don't hold on to it. Let it just flow through you. It's just cleaning your energy channels. It's just cleaning your energy channels. So the energy can flow unobstructed through you. In the beginning, you are totally rusty. Totally rusty, hardly any water can go through the pipe. Then you start working on yourself, cleaning, getting the rust out. Then when you start getting some rust, then the water starts, fresh water is coming through. Then you feel, whoa, like that. Whoa, so much energy, so happy, because it's been totally stagnant. Then comes a time where everything is flushed out, no? But then you cannot fill yourself again. You have to keep it clean. Then is nothing to do. Then is the time for just meditation. Sit silently, be quiet. So you start settling in the new. You cannot do some things you cannot do. What you can do is to clean out the old. When you are still identified with the old, you think the old is past, is difficult, you have problems, you have anger, you have this, you have fears. All that you can clean out. It's part of your mind. Truth is nothing to do with your mind. Reality is nothing to do with your mind. God is nothing to do with your mind. Is impersonal. Like that. Then, Yogi Kamal, you say, my Krishna gratitude is one of a million characteristics that arises out of the joy of being your disciple in this lifetime. One heart, Yogi Kamal. Yes. No, I will tell you a little bit what Krishna said. Since you mention him. So then I will explain it from his side also, what we are talking about. Everybody knows, or most people have heard about the Bhagavad Gita, but there is another Gita called Udya Gita, where Krishna is talking to his old friend, Uddhava, because now this is after the battle, the big battle that happens in Bhagavad Gita. Now Krishna wants to go to his heavenly realm. He had done his mission. Then this old friend, Uddhava, wants to go with him, of course. Because the devotee is totally devoted to the master, so he wants to come. So then Krishna has to talk to him, and because he is an old friend, it becomes very intimate. And all this is signs that the truth, or this teaching beyond teaching, can only be given to a devotee, to an open heart. Otherwise, there's no opening. If you are anything in the way in your mind, then the teaching cannot go in. That's just the law. Krishna is saying, you are wise, Uddhava. No, reflect, think now. The individual soul is part of the one reality. Bondage is based on ignorance, and liberation is based on knowledge of the one reality behind the parts. That which is free in you and that which is bound have different qualities, even though they occupy the same body. Let me explain. The individual can be likened to two birds, companions who nest in the same tree. One eats the fruit of the tree, That the fruit of the tree means desires, dreams, wanting, future. The other bird refrains from eating. Yet it is the one that does not eat that is the source of strength for both. So, Krishna is saying, inside you there is two. One is the one that is attracted out, who get lost, who wants to eat everything that the world has to offer. Then when you eat, the more you eat, the more undernourished you get in reality, from Krishna's standpoint. Because you pollute yourself. If you have wisdom, then you don't eat it in the first place. But very few has this wisdom. In the beginning, you have to earn it. You have to reclaim it. And the way to reclaim it is to know thyself. Because then you have something so precious that nothing of this world can tempt you, which is tempting everybody in different ways. So this is Krishna's way, one way to explain it. The reality is like the bird that does not eat. It's enlightened. It knows itself and it knows its companion. He's saying that the enlightened one, he knows itself. It knows the enlightenment, the clarity, the consciousness. But he also knows the other that has to function as somebody in the world. But there's no conflict. It's like a puppet. It's needed for that. Otherwise, everybody will just sit there like Ramana Maharshi. Nothing will happen. No shopping will happen. You have to combine it. Most people, they are totally lost in one. And they forgot the real. The real is totally settled in the real. He never forgets whatever he do or whatever happens. He is rooted in the reality. The reality is like the bird that does not eat. It's enlightened. It knows itself and it knows its companion. The unreal is like the bird that eats. It is ignorant. It knows neither itself nor its companion. So, the mind or the ego, it neither knows itself nor its companion. That is ignorance. Because you cannot know the ego. That is false in the first place. It's like a ghost. And to be involved in your mind, in your ego, to be identified in that, which is ignorance, that means you have forgotten the real. You have forgotten your clarity. And what wisdom is to come back again to that clarity. That doesn't mean you can do anything in the world, but then it's not serious anymore. Because everything falls into place from the standpoint of reality. You're living in the reality. You're living in the eternal, in the physical. Only that bird filled with knowledge of the self is free. This is called self-realization. just as the wise, they have awakened from the dream. And just as on awakening, you will not cling to the dream. They do not cling to the body, but, the ignorant one, they still live in the dream and they suffer. The wise one, though still in the body, are no longer confined to it. He does not identify it with the things of the dream. This is the difference. That is the sign of the self-realized one. He lives in the world, and you have many, 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 many different types. That's why you should not have any idea how the enlightened one is. If you look at Buddha, you think everybody should be like a Buddha. Then you look at Jesus, everybody should be like Jesus. No, everybody is unique. But what they all have in common is they are not identified with this world. They are rooted in themselves. It doesn't matter what you do. One of my friends, he was a banker in Bombay, Ramesh Balsekar. A banker, that's pretty straight from me, like, hello, why you want to be a banker, you know, in the Bank of India? Or accountant. But who cares? Whatever is needed, you do. You accept your role in this life. That's your karma. Your family, your friends, your children, everything. Then you have others like Ramana. He was only 16, 17 years old, and he just left home. He didn't even say goodbye to the parents. He just sneaked out and he disappeared. He must have remembered something, and he was so clean from before, so ripe, that he didn't need to touch anything in life. He didn't need to work, he didn't need to go into the marriage, he didn't need to have the children, he didn't need anything of that. He just went to his master, his guru, which was a mountain. That must also be from the past. Maybe he lived on that mountain, struggling to do his sadhana, meditation, like so many was doing around him. The self-realized one becomes like the sky, like the sun, like the wind, free and unbound. They can sit, walk, bathe, eat, hear, touch, smell, anything. Yet in the midst of all these things, in the midst of living, he remains unbound by the gunas. He is free, untouched. And that's what Osho means by living in the world, but be untouched by it. Just like a lotus that comes from the mud. The mud symbolizes the world. it comes from there. It comes from the material, but it's above it. It doesn't get wet. It floats above the water. That's the meaning of sannyas. Krishna says, my dear friend, listen, one who is detached from any gain in this world, any desires, and sees its sorrows that it brings, but has not yet settled in himself and received the final instructions from the Guru in attaining the final liberation, that one should go to the dwelling of a Guru to receive the teaching with an open heart and mind. Such a lucky person should remain there, serving the Guru with love and faith, as if the Guru were the Self itself, until the truth is realized. That's how it is. And nothing has changed since Krishna days. And nothing will change. If anybody is really interested, and remember, you can only be really available in self-realization, in freedom, if you are not attached to any gain of this world. That's the meaning Krishna gives it. Of course, now anybody can come to satsang, but it's the same way. Slowly, 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 you have to learn. You have to burn yourself many times. You have to suffer till you come to that enough is enough. I'm tired. I want freedom. Then when there's nothing in this world that can tempt you, you want that. You have tasted something that is beyond anything this world can offer. Then, says Krishna, you should go to the dwelling of a guru and remain there, serving the guru with love and faith, as if the guru were the self, until the truth is realized. This is the easiest way. It is the Guru that reminds you and brings you back again and again. So anybody who is interested in that, the Sangha, Satsang, that is the place.
Krishna, soul.